So this view holding on to an extreme position, so this is actually arisen by way of dependence on the previous view, that is the view of the transitory collection. Because what actually is happening here, if you look at from the ordinary perception, so we see that although the five aggregates, they keep on changing by way of transitory, the momentary change, and yet you have an innate feeling that the self or the person continues, as if like this is something permanent, despite the aggregates which constitutes and the aggregates which constitute the self, they are impermanent, and yet you have the innate feeling of the self or the person to be permanent or eternal. Views holding on to an extreme position, deluded forms of intelligence with regard to that self apprehended by the view of the transitory collection, viewing it as permanent and eternal, or else as something that ceases in the absence of transmigration or from this existence to a future one. So this view holding on to the extreme, so it can be of two types, to the extreme of nihilism and the extreme of eternalism. So if you think of the self to be permanent, so there it is the view holding on to the extreme of eternalism. And whereas if you think of the self to be ceasing altogether, ceasing for good, when you arrive at the end of this life or when you pass away, so thinking that there's no next life, so that is actually the mistaken view holding on to the extreme of nihilism. And next view, that is another view as best. Holding on to a view as best, a deluded intelligence with regard to any of the three views, the view of the transitory collection, the views holding on to an extreme or wrong views, and with regard to the aggregates of the person holding that view, the base of its emergence as best. Next, holding to an ethical discipline and ascetic practice as best. Now, holding on to an ethical discipline, ascetic practice as best, a deluded intelligence with regard to an ethical discipline of giving up random behavior and an ascetic practice, setting a dress code, manners, and bodily verbal behavior, and with regard to the aggregates of the person, holding on to those, their beings, it views them as something purifying negativity, as liberation from mental afflictions and certain release from cyclic existence. And then the last one, wrong views. A deluded intelligence repudiating previous and future existences, karmic effects and the like, or else imputing the concept of an almighty creator god or a primal substance, etc., as the cause of sentient beings. So, urgent announcement. The private secretary of His Holiness, he wants to see Chiu Nan Lai. Private secretary Tenzin Gejla, he wants to see Chiu Nan Lai. So, in terms of the goals, it is set in the Pramana or the Vedic cognition. value cognition literature, which speaks about two kinds of goals. The goal which is immediately preceding the value cognition, and which is being mediated, preceding the value cognition. So here, the latter one actually qualifies those the results of the goals like Buddhahood or liberation, which need to be achieved through series of efforts or through series of lifetimes, and whereas there are more immediate results which are the results of the value cognition, say like. Because of the value cognition, you tend to derive some immediate results, as generating compassion and so forth. So such kind of immediately arising results are called as the non-mediated results of the value cognition. So after all, so whatever is a virtuous goal, it is the case that it must have a preceding valid cognition, or it must have a preceding unmistaken mind as the preceding cause. So then, in the end, Lama Tsongkhapa says, this is how the mental afflictions are identified from the common perspective of the higher and the lower tenet systems. The Prasangika Madhyamika system will be explained below. So, actually, the kind of the ways in which I try to explain the definitions of these various afflictions is the way I almost did the blend of the two systems. And the reason why Prasangika Madhyamika, the high school of thought, has a different version of the interpretation of these different afflictions is not simply because that it is something a different system, but rather it is the Prasangika system which is actually successful in discovering the disparity between the way things appear to our ordinary perceptions and the way things really exist. So the Prasangika, they successfully or rightly identifies that things, they don't exist, though they appear to exist as inherently, but in actuality they don't possess that quality, they don't exist that way. So this is the very subtle kind of discovery the Prasangika system made, and it is on this basis that the Prasangika would have a separate or would have a more refined way of distinguishing or defining the various the mental afflictions. Next, the stages of how the mental afflictions arise. So if we follow the system of the compendium of sutras, the compendium of higher studies, so he's only saying that I couldn't say the words properly. I slipped my tongue. If the view of the transitory collection and ignorance are held to be in opposition to each other, which follows the tradition of the compendium of higher studies composed by Asanga. So, that mere aspect of the delusions, which has a sense of vagueness in terms of the apprehension of the things, that is regarded as the, that is considered or regarded as ignorance. If the view of the transitory collection and the ignorance, if the view of the transitory collection and the ignorance are held to be in opposition to each other, the stages of how the mental afflictions arise must be understood in the following manner. For instance, with regard to coiled up rope, a mind apprehending a snake arises once darkness has fallen to some extent. And if the mode of subsistence of the robe is not clear, likewise, through the darkness of ignorance, obscuring the clear mode of subsistence of the aggregates, the deception of the aggregates as self arises from which the other mental afflictions arise. And then we see that a difference between between the position in terms of the subtlety of the self-grasping of the phenomena and the self-grasping of person among the different schools of thought, Buddhist schools of thought. So other than Prasangikas, they try to make the distinction in terms of subtlety of the apprehension between the self-grasping of phenomena and the self-grasping of person. And whereas the Prasangika would say that no, such a difference does not exist, because both the self-graspings, the self-grasping of the person and the self-grasping of phenomena, they simply differ in terms of the very basis of the object upon which the grasping holds on to inherent existence. Otherwise, in terms of the apprehension, the two don't differ in terms of subtlety. And then, according to the lower schools of thought, because they posit the difference in terms of the subtlety in the apprehension between the two self-grasping of phenomena and the self-grasping of person, so they say that the self-grasping of person arises out of that self-grasping of phenomena, which is much subtler than the self-grasping of person. And yet they say that the self-grasping of person is the root cause of the entire samsara or sufferings. They don't point to the self-grasping of phenomena as the root cause of samsara, although it gives rise to the self-grasping of person, which they regard as the root cause of samsara or suffering. Next, the faults of the mental afflictions. In the Ornament of Sutras by Maitreya, he says, the mental afflictions destroy oneself, destroy other beings and ethical discipline. Once that is debased, your lowly financially guardians and teachers revile you. There will be nasty disputes. You take rebirth elsewhere in unfree places. Through the debasement of what you have attained or not yet attained, there is great mental suffering. So, because of this arisal of delusion or affliction in your mind, it instantly makes you feel disturbed, makes you feel uneasy. And then you become totally out of control. Totally out of control in terms of the physical and the verbal actions. Then the person turns out as if like an insane person or crazy. And when that gross level of the delusions or the afflictions subsides, then the person becomes sane. As such, he or she would feel tremendous regret over those kind of actions already done under the domination of these negative, gross level of the delusions. So, and also, these delusions Once they rise in you, they tend to then let you kind of lose the power of discrimination or judging something good from bad. And then, whereas when you the gross level of the delusions, when they subside, when you really obtain the normal mental state, they then you tend to discover that, oh, the way that you have been thinking when those delusions were in your mind, so you were actually mistaken, you were actually being misled. So all these things you realize after those delusions subside. And also that because of the presence of those delusions in you, then these make you unhappy. And on top of that, you make all the other people around you also unhappy. So because that these delusions make you and the surrounding unhappy, then you tend to go to harm other beings. So as such, the delusions not only destroy you, but also destroys others. And because of the arousal of this delusion in you, you tend to lose the sense of the judgment, sense of discrimination. It is because of this that you will then, without any hesitation, engage in all other delusions, afflictive emotions. So even if there isn't someone around you, but when your mind is really disturbed because of these delusions, so naturally it makes you unhappy. And also these delusions, and it also brings about problems, atrocities in different communities. So if you think of how these problems in the community arise, so they are all rooted to the delusions. So sometimes we think of the delusions as attachment and aversion and so forth, as something innate quality of our own mind. And because that our body, the body by itself, has the kind of tendency or the potential to give rise to delusions. Because those delusions belong to the category of attachment, so they kind of, they seem to serve as if to gather all those things conducive to your body. And then there is the sense of aversion and those categories, so tend to get rid of those things which are harmful or discordant to you. And because of being motivated by these two kind of the delusions, mental negative emotions as attachment and aversion, then you tend to actually engage in the actions of being hypocrite and so forth. It is because of this that it is very important to identify the faults of delusions.